So we had quite an eventful morning. Do you guys talk to God during these little things? You know, like, okay, so I'm a little stressed, and I mean, I know we're small, we're relaxed, but still, you don't really want to be late when you're teaching, you know? So, and finally, I just like gave into it, and I said, okay, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing. We're going to be late. The worst has happened. We're going to be late, and I'm teaching. Okay, so what? The worst has happened. So what else? And then I hear Lori from the car, Steven! So the worst got worse, and we had a little cleanup to do, but it's still not quite done, of course, but the windows are down, so don't go too close. So you guys must be really important, you know? So really be listening, because God has something to say to you today. It has nothing to do with me, but so, you know, as Debbie was saying, there was much resistance, so I don't know why you guys are so important, but I guess you must be. So let's pray. Lord, we do turn to you, and but we know that there is value when we come together, and that when we worship you, when we encourage one another, when we open your word up. It's not dependent on the hearer or the speaker, but we yield ourselves to you, Lord. We pray that you would do mighty and wonderful things this morning, even among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, Tim, would you please sit with your wife? We, you don't have an outline. There's really a cool outline, but you don't have it. So open your Bibles to a better outline, Romans chapter 1. And we are going to cover the first 17 verses of Romans chapter 1. And a quick review. You know, when we embark upon, when I tell you we're about to study Romans, it's kind of like I expect to hear some trumpets in the background going, it's like Romans. You know, this is not, you know, I don't want to compare the rest of Scripture to the, but give me some freedom with my analogy here, is that, you know, it's important when you choose what clothes you're going to wear to your first day of school, your first day of a new job, you're going to some event, and you want to, even us guys, we worry, and you take some effort, you want to, what are you going to wear? What am I supposed to look like? And this is kind of an impacting thing. Well, you know, there's places in Scripture you go, and it's like, I just want some encouragement. You know, I want to go to Psalms, or the Psalms are deep, and you want to go to, I want to just read a joyful letter. I'm going to go to Philippians, or I'm going to, you know, but if you want something to build your life upon, it's not as juicy maybe sometimes, it's not as exciting as what you're going to pick to go somewhere, but where you're going to wear, but it's like, these are the foundations upon which your life are built. So these are not band-aids on your life. This is like the essence of your life, the things we're going to deal with in Romans. So in a sense, that saying is just get prepared, because God is maybe not be a flash in the pan type of thing, but these are things, truths that you can build your life upon. So quick review from last week. This letter to Rome, to the as Tim brought out this. Many churches in Rome, a lot of small churches in Rome, and this letter was to all of them, to all the Christians in Rome. And Paul wrote this on he was on his third missionary journey. He had had a stopover in Corinth, and he's headed back to Jerusalem, and he's there for a few months in Corinth, and he hadn't been to Rome, but he's writing to these believers in Rome, and he's about to go to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem, his plan is to go to Spain, and from Spain to the uttermost parts of the world, to the unreached places, and he wants this church at Rome to launch him out. And he wants to preach to them, and he wants to receive from them, and he's excited about the time that he's going to have in Rome. And so this is part of this letter he's writing to him. He's giving him these foundational bedrock truths. Make sure you have this. And then when I get there, we're going to go even further and deeper. And so he's telling him what his plan is. This was probably written in around 56 A.D., so you can think Paul is probably in his mid-50s when he wrote this letter. It's about the time frame. And he's gonna we're gonna get down to verse 17 today. verse 17 is going to give us the double themes of Rome. I'm going to go ahead and tell you where we're going. In case something else catastrophic happens, you're going to get the guts of it right here. So these are the two themes of it's this double impact type of thing. They're the same, but they're from two different aspects. So these are the truths that rock the world and rocks the men that change the world. You can go to Martin Luther. You can go to these great fathers of our modern church. And these are the things that rock their world, that change their whole perspective on life. And this truth, justification by faith, declared righteous. We were declared righteous by God, accepted by God, as if we were completely righteous. So by the time we get through today, I want you to get a start on actually believing this truth that God accepts you. If you have received the substitutional death of Jesus, that right here this morning, God fully and absolutely accepts you. And he wants them to get this. The second truth, so it's justification by faith. That's the number one truth in Romans. The other one is very closely linked to it, and it's living, it's victorious living by faith. Victorious living by faith. It's like, how do I start this life, and how do I live this life? It's all right here from the same foundation in Romans, and that's what we're going to get to. So we're going to go through this. We're not going to dissect every single verse as we go through Romans. We're going to touch down on certain verses. This morning we'll read through every verse. We'll take the time to do that. So let's start. We'll start here with verse 1. How about that? It's a good place to start. Paul, a servant, doulos of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. We will stop there. So, servant, that is, the word there is doulos, that is a slave. Paul's saying, I am a voluntary slave of Jesus, and I am an apostle. So you can think of this. Apostles are spoken of all through Acts, all through the New Testament. There's two different types of apostles. There's a capital, allow me some freedom here, capital A apostle. Those are the apostles that are appointed directly by Jesus himself. So think of the 12. Well, one went awry, but the other 11, they were appointed by Jesus. Then there was another one that was replaced. But Paul was appointed directly by Jesus. Remember on the road to Damascus, Jesus himself appeared to Paul and appointed him an apostle. So he's stating the fact, he has authority in the church. He's an apostle, capital A. And an apostle is one that is sent out to tell the good news. So, we all are apostles, though, aren't we? Small a, we are sent out by God with the good news, with the gospel. So, if we go ahead here, he set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets to the Holy Script, through the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was the descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among the Gentiles to the obedience that, here we go, comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. So, Paul is set apart. He is set apart. His life is about the work and the message of Jesus. So, it's like, these are familiar terms to these people. So, gospel is good news. So, and this one that declared is like a herald declaring good news. So, you got to have a herald from a king coming to the people to declare good news. He could be coming and saying, a son is born. I have an heir to the throne. This is good news. For example, that could be spoken out to the kingdom, to the people. And Paul, what Paul's doing, though, is taking this another step. And it's like he has this good news that's the best news in the world ever possible. And he's set apart to do this, not just to speak it and drop the gospel bomb, but he is going to invest his life. Nothing is too sacrificial for the message that he has to declare. Unlike a herald that's coming from a king that's just going to drop the news. That's not the way he's going to do this. And you know, like, for instance, Paul will say, when he's writing a letter to some of these people, he'll say, I spoke to you, I went house to house, I was in all of your homes. You know how I pray night and day for you. You know how I shed tears over you. You know how I loved and cared for you like a mother cares for her children. So that was his method of declaring the gospel. It was not just dropping this gospel bomb and then going away, just giving this good news. He was giving his life. He was investing in these people. So these, and then he's calling the people that he's writing to, what do you call them? If you look there, saints. Saints from sanctified. Okay. All right. So saints means set apart. So if in a home you have some dishes that are, these are dishes that you use to eat, you eat these around the table. If the children come and say, hey, can we have some, we want to have a tea party, can we go do this? You may dig around and find something that you can give the kids to go out and play, but you don't go into the cabinet and take out your dishes that you are eating dinner off of every night. They don't take those in the yard and play with them. They are set apart. Set apart for a specific purpose. And you are, he's telling them, the Christians in Rome, you are, when you believe, you were set apart. You know, whatever purposes you had before, you are now set apart for the purpose of God. What are the purposes of God? Well, let's go real quick to John 3:16, one of the most foundational, basic verses you could go to. What this does, if you look at this verse, this gives God's purpose in the world, and it gives God's motivation in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What's his purpose? His purpose is to reconcile people that do not know him, to repair the relationship, bring people that do not know him into a relationship with him. And what's his motivation? Love. Okay, so these are saints, he's saying. They're getting this. You see, this is, I'm not just making this up. They're getting this. When he calls them saints, they understand what that means. They are saints. They're set apart for God's purpose. What is God's purpose? It's to reach the world. And what's the motivation to that? It's love. So that's their purpose in life, and that is their motivation. So let's go on, saints set apart. Let's go down to verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart, is preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. So, the people are hearing all over the world about these people's faith. Their faith has changed their life. So, there's evidence for their faith. And it's so dramatic that people all the way back across the world, back in Jerusalem, are hearing about the faith of these people in Rome and how it has changed their lives. And Paul's saying, well, that's good, that's success, but I'm still praying for you. I am lifting you up that would continue on. He's praying for them. Now verse 11 and 12. And then he's talking about how he's speaking of his plans to go to Spain and then on to the rest of the world. Then he wants to see them, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So, this is not something mystical. People try to make this something mystical. Paul's going to go in and he's going to lay hands upon them and they're going to receive the gift of teaching. They're going to receive the gift of healing. They're going to receive the gift of tongues or whatever it is. That's not what he's talking about. He said, he explains that what he's talking about. It comes next. He says, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to teach you. So, he says, the gift, that is, that we would be mutually encouraged. So, Paul's going to bring something. You know, this reminds me of any time anybody goes on a mission trip, or somebody that has given their life to missions, generally, and they've sacrificed everything, a lot of times they will say, what sacrifice? So, you know, I remember this particular thing of going to Ghana, and we were out in the, out in the boonies, and there was this little grass hut, and the wall, it was open, and there was little wooden benches, and we were teaching, pastors how to teach firm foundations. And there were like 50 of them that were to be there. And they weren't there yet. And so I'm sitting here, and it's kind of time to start. And we're on African time, so there's nobody there yet. And but there's these trails. There's a village there and these trails. And pretty soon I see these guys start coming in, you know, on bikes, walking, coming in. And I asked Eugene, I said, Eugene, where are these guys coming from? He said, oh, there's villages. And I said, oh, how far are they? About 20 miles. 20 miles. They came on their bikes. They came walking barefooted. They came 20 miles to sit on hard wooden benches for 10 hours while we teach. And they were, it's like, so yeah, I came to encourage them, to bless them, right? I sacrificed to do that. We did that. We came and we did that. So, who got the blessing? They got blessed, and we in turn received blessing. You see, we came to encourage them, but we in turn were encouraged. And that is the way it is. That's Paul knows how God works. He knows that's going to happen. When he goes to teach them and build them up and feed their soul, he is going to get fed in return. Encourage and be encouraged. That's what he's talking about there. His faith, it's this mutual thing. It's a spiritual thing that happens. Verse 14. And then Paul is going to talk, well, let's just read this. Verse 14. I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So, Paul wants to bear fruit in general in Rome. So, he wants to bring the gospel. He wants these Christians in Rome to build their life on this foundation of the gospel, justification by faith and how to live victoriously. But he also is bringing, he wants to bear fruit in Rome in general. He wants not just to teach the church. He wants people to be saved. And so he wants to bear fruit in Rome, both for their justification and for their victorious living. He wants everyone to hear. And he's explaining here that Jesus left this responsibility. He left this responsibility to him, and he left it to them. And again, what is that responsibility? We already saw John 3:16. Let's go to another verse, Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18-20. The Great Commission. So, this is really big. This is an underlying element in Romans. So Paul has this responsibility, and he wants to fulfill that responsibility. And this responsibility is right here. It's all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's Jesus speaking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, Paul is eager to do this. I would say this is an understatement in this particular instance, where Paul's saying, I'm eager. But let's go to a verse I believe that captures a little more of Paul's heart than this, in 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. So that's the gospel in a nutshell, right there. The substitutional death of Jesus that justifies us, and Paul is saying that it's like the description here is like he's shot out of a cannon. It's like the love of Christ compels him. And every time I read this verse, not only do I think of Paul because he wrote it, but I think of people like Hudson Taylor. And I know I've shared this with you before. Hudson Taylor, He went to China before, back when it was sailing ships. It took months to get to China. The conditions were horrific. He brought his family there. He went to the interior of China. It was a forbidden place, a secret place. No foreigners had been where he... It's like there was no sacrifice too great. He didn't just drop that gospel bomb. He sacrificed and was willing to sacrifice everything to bring the gospel to these people. Why? Because he loved them? Yeah, but really, it says the love of Christ compelled him. It's like Jesus loving them through him, and he got to experience that love, because it's like it's passing through him to them. And so he gets to experience such as intimacy with Christ, because he actually gets to experience the emotions and feelings of Jesus, because he's compelled by this love. That same thing happens to us. And we can have a love for someone that we are willing to, no sacrifice is too big, for them to get the gospel. Because the love of Jesus compels us to do it. And Paul is saying it's this same love of Jesus. Yeah, he loves these people, but it's really Jesus loving them through him. And he gets to experience that. He gets to feel it, to experience, to know Jesus to that depth. We cannot know any other person on the world to that way. I can't actually feel your love for another person. I can't get that deep into you, no matter who. But we can have that love of Jesus, and that compels him and shoots him out of a cannon, is the expression that he must go. He must go. Not because of somebody's guilting him, not because of obedience to the law, but it's because of love that compels him to go. And that's why he wants to go to Rome. That's why he wants to share the gospel with them. That's why he wrote this letter to them, is because the love of Christ compelled him. And you notice that he's going first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. This is not because he loves Jews more, contrary to some beliefs. But you know what? This is the way God did things. I see it similar to an apostle. Like Paul was set aside. He's an apostle with this message from God. The Jews were this people with a message from God. They had a job. Their job was to reveal God to the world. That's what they were supposed to do. They had the law, and they had the prophets, and they had the truth. They had the ancestry of Jesus. They had the Messiah himself. All this came to the Jewish people, and they were honored, and they were privileged. They were blessed, and they had a responsibility. Just like, say, an apostle has a responsibility, and he's blessed. Well, that was what they were doing. That was because God loved the world. That's why, and he used these Jewish people. Now, Paul is saying, I'm just taking this same pattern that God used. So, when I go to a city, it's not because God loves the Jews more, not because I love the Jews more. He's saying, this is God's way. So I'm going to go to the Jews. I'm going to go to them, to the synagogues. I'm going to preach to them. And what's going to happen? They're going to turn him away. And then he's going to go to the Gentiles, because actually, God called him to the Gentiles. It's just that's the way in which, that's God's way. We got to learn to do things God's way. And that's what Paul is saying. This is God's way. I'm doing this thing God's way. But, and all these were mostly Gentiles, most likely, here in Rome. So he's telling them there's no everybody, and he goes high and low, most educated, uneducated, rich, poor. Everyone should have equal access to the gospel. That's what he's saying. Jew, Gentile, everyone. So let's go on. This is it right here. This is where the point. So he's not going to go into detail here. This is an introduction to all the rest of the stuff he's going to write. This he's going to launch. He's going to launch this incredible letter, this book of Romans. He's going to launch it from verses 16 and 17. This is the theme of Romans. You can underline that and star it, because from here launches the deep truths of Romans. So let's read this. Verse 16. Let's see. Well, we already read that. We'll start at verse 17. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He covered both of the themes there, right? Justification by faith alone. We are declared righteous by faith alone. And so Paul, he gave us the theme there. And what's going to happen later in the, now, he's going to get very practical with his application. He's going to tell people how to put these things into practice. And so that first thing that he wants us to do there is to believe that there's a righteousness that is by faith. It's not something that we earn. So, it's like, no matter how many, usually you think somebody that's standing up front here is not true, but a lot of times you'll think somebody up front, they've done a lot of good things for God. And I tell stories about Africa and Turkey, you know, and all that. And you think, well, this guy up here, he's done a lot of good things for God, so he's probably more acceptable to God than I am because, you know, I slept in this morning, I didn't even get my quiet time in, and I hadn't had it back for 2 weeks, and, you know, so I haven't shared the gospel in about a year with anybody, and so I'm probably not very acceptable to God. That guy up there is probably more acceptable to God. You know, that's just not right. That's just not right. How do we have righteousness? By faith. By faith. You have the righteousness of Christ. By faith. And you know what? There's a little voice over here saying, oh yeah, but that's gonna give people a license to sin and not read their Bible and not get up and not go to mission. And Paul deals with that later on. He says, that is the most foolish thing I've ever heard. You're crazy. That's not how it works. He's gonna explain that in detail later. I'm just telling you where it's going. So, he's gonna explain all this, these two points. This faith. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. It's this thing. We have righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. We have. And then let's read some more verses. We'll just read some other places that Paul's written about this thing, and we'll try to give some clarity to it. But the rest of the book of Romans is about these two things, so we won't try to go too deep into it. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. So, one place you're going to find that Paul starts off is, everybody's in the same boat. He's going to say, you have this group that they don't think they can approach God. They don't even try. You have this group up here, they're really, really religious. And they do all these efforts to approach God. And what Paul's going to say is, one of the starting places is, we're all in the same boat. Do you know a child born into the most Christian family that ever existed in the face of the earth, a child that's born into that family that's going to have teaching, they're going to go to church, they're going to have their parents are going to not going to get a divorce, their parents are going to teach them, are going to love them. You know, those families exist. And so this child is born in this family. Then if you have a family born into the darkest area you could ever imagine, into poverty and drugs and mayhem, do you realize those children are equally desperate? They are equally desperate. They are in the same boat. Granted, there's going to be more opportunity here, so we're going to try to reach all of them. But they are equally desperate. And Paul is going to make, he wants that to be understood. We all receive righteousness by faith, by believing. And then let's go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I like the way that verse covered both of the things, justified by faith, and then how we live. We're going to live by faith. We're going to get things done by faith. But we'll get into the details of that later. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Now this is really some good news. This ought to this should excite anyone. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Is anybody sitting right here feeling a little bit condemned? You know, a little bit. I don't know how much conviction. If there's conviction here, let's do this. If you have sin that's unrepented for right now, why don't we just go ahead and clear that out of the way so that doesn't confuse you here? Okay. So right now in your mind, If you're angry, if you have there's lust, if there's bitterness, if there's anything like that going on, you know what you could do right now? You don't have to tell me, and I won't look at you. Just say, God, I've sinned, forgive me. Let the blood of Jesus take care of that. Now, really, you know, it's already taken care of, because when you, the sin you're going to do tomorrow is already paid for, right? He's the cross. It's already paid for. Okay, but let's go and just acknowledge that if you have sin, go ahead and receive that communion with God, that forgiveness, and you don't have to wait for an hour for that to happen, because the work was already done way 2,000 years ago. So, you know, it's applied. It's already done. So why don't you go ahead and receive that and now be at peace with God, okay? Everybody at peace with God? I hope so. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Set free. There is no condemnation. Are you feeling condemned? Then you're wrong. That's not the Holy Spirit. If there's no sin between you and God, No condemnation. Oh, but I didn't read my Bible this morning. No condemnation. But I had an argument with my husband or wife. No condemnation. There's no condemnation. He accepts you fully because of all the good things that you did before that. Getcha. Because of faith. Because you believe it. Okay. Galatians 2:20. Now here we go. We're going to summarize Romans right here. Galatians 2:20. So you can see how chapter 1 of Romans 2 really is an introduction to the rest of the book, but it's pretty important. Galatians 2:20. This is Romans in a nutshell. This is where I go to remind me, how to live. Remind me what Romans is about. Remind me how I'm to live my life. Galatians 2:20 and 21. Listen carefully to this and read through this with me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So we're going to go into great detail about how do you apply that in a practical way. How do you apply that? And Paul is going to tell us. Tell us how to do that. How do we make that application? So, this week, here's your homework. Here's your homework, okay? Are you ready? It's going to be heavy duty. It's going to be a lot of work. I want you to believe that God accepts you. Anytime you have doubts this week, anytime you don't do things right, anytime you have those kind of self-doubting things that we have, believe that God accepts you. That's not based on me, okay? Or what I say, or my thoughts. We know that from God's Word. God accepts you because of the righteousness of Jesus. He accepts you. And then, believe you can live differently. Now, we're going to get into detail exactly how we do these things, but start off, the best way to test drive something just to do it, right? And then you'll see, oh, I don't really understand this part of it. Well, then we'll get to that later. Do these two things this week. Believe God accepts you and believe that you can live differently. Believe. You know that attitude? You know the attitude that we, yeah? Well, that can change. Because by faith. That can change by faith. And we'll talk in practical matters about these things. You know, there's a couple of things I have in my mind when I think about faith, and one of them is you know, those, some of you weren't around to experience this, those baptisms we used to have up at Porter Fort Creek and the icy waters of the Porter Fort. Now, it's a couple of things I remember. I remember Brenna as a little girl. I wish she was here this morning. Brenna coming out of the water with this startled just expression on her face and just soaking wet. You know, I don't know. I have that picture in my mind. The other picture I have in there, because there is a picture of it, of Kevin coming out of the water, Carlton standing behind him, and he's got his fist thrust in the air, and it's like just tells everything. It's faith. And the next one is that I used to ask people questions. We'd go baptize up there, we'd be standing by the water, and I asked Caleb. I said, Caleb, this is when Caleb was a little more, you know, with it. I said, Caleb, Why should Jesus let you into his heaven? Why should he let you in? And he didn't even have to think about it. He said, I believe. I believe. Simplicity. I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Practice belief this week. Don't worry if you mess up. Oh, repent if you sin. Of course, of course. But just believe. Believe God accepts you. We have enough people telling us of work to do, don't we? Enough stress, enough pressure. Believe God accepts you, and you can live differently by faith.